Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
So we're going to be hopping into a PT pearl on ankylosing spondylitis, and I am someone who's had back issues. Ankylosing spondylitis essentially just means stiffening of the back. I'm someone who had back issues throughout athletics in college and beyond that, and I cannot talk about back issues in my own body without talking about the restrictions that I've had in my feet and ankles. And if there's one thing that I've done to improve my foot and ankle health in the past 3 years, it was starting to wear Vivo barefoot shoes. I cannot tell you how much it has helped improve the mobility and the strength through my toes, feet, and ankles. If you're looking to get into this barefoot life, Vivo has barefoot shoes for every occasion: casual wear, going on walks, going out to a fancy dinner or a wedding, working out in them, even having water shoes or shoes that you can wear for hikes or in the cold. They have it all, and they are all incredible because they help you feel the ground, they give your foot the space that it needs to move, and they have that thin, flexible bottom so your foot moves how it actually should. It helps you build up the strength and foundational mobility in your foot rather than using things externally like inserts or heel cups or thick bottom shoes or stiff bottom shoes that just continue to weaken our feet over time. If you're looking to get into this barefoot life and grab your first pair of shoes, please go to the link in the show notes and you can get 15% off as a special part of our podcast audience using code TOB. That's TOB like the optimal body. So go to that link down in the show notes. Make sure you use code TOB at checkout.
Ankylosing spondylitis. Now, this is not that common of a diagnosis for back pain,
no,
but something that we have been requested to cover. So we want to make sure that everyone, you know, feels supported on our podcast and gets an understanding, yeah, of what this is and what we feel could be best based on the research that we're looking into.
We've done just about every other back disorder, I feel.
Seriously.
So, you know, it's time that we cover some of these more fringe cases, yeah, but ankylosing spondylitis, I mean, essentially we hear itis in that title. So
inflammation
is what we start thinking. So inflammatory disorder, but essentially what it means is our back is starting to grow a lot more osteophytes or bony growths. Mm-hmm. And it kind of presents early on like an arthritis. Like symptoms can be similar to what arthritis might be, but in severe cases, those bony growths can start to fuse together. So this is kind of known as like the fusing back disorder, where people get really stiff spines.
Yeah, and it kind of progresses into that because it's a chronic inflammatory autoimmune disease. So, yeah, you know, think of any other kind of autoimmune disease, they usually have some sort of progression to them,
yep,
and your body is almost attacking itself, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to get back into the root causes of those autoimmune diseases.
Taking a quick break from the PT Pearl to talk about one of our favorite sponsors and one of the things Jen and I use literally on a daily basis, that is Element. It's our favorite electrolyte drink mix that keeps us hydrated on a cellular level by replenishing and replacing the sodium, potassium, and magnesium that our body needs for so many basic cellular processes like sending nerve conductions around our body, having smooth muscle contractions. It helps us prevent brain fog, helps us prevent unnecessary fatigue, cramps, aches, helps us wind down and relax to get ready for bed. So many things that making sure we have optimized levels of electrolytes in our body can help us with. So if you want to try it out, make sure you go down to the link in the show notes. It's drinkelement, that's LMNT.com/optimal, and you get a free sample pack to help you try out all sorts of different flavors to find which one you enjoy best so you can continue staying hydrated on a daily basis. Go down to the link in the show notes, order now, and get your free sample pack.
And I think it's easy to look at the spine and say, oh, well, I'm stiffening, I'm getting more pain, I'm losing range of motion, so I need to only do things that affect me physically. But we're going to actually talk about, you know, how what we see, especially between a lot of patients with ankylosing spondylitis, that it's not just, you know, physical movement that can really help and causes this impairment.
Well, and anytime we talk inflammatory disorders or back pain, mm-hmm. you know, our mindset, our psychology, and our emotional health is very important to how that back pain presents and ultimately how it affects our life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being an autoimmune disorder, we tend to see this be a little more prevalent in ages 20 to 40.
That's usually when it starts.
Yeah, that's usually when you start seeing symptoms, and twice as common in men as well.
Sorry about that. It only affects, they said, 0.1 to 1.4% of the population.
Yeah.
That's promising if you're listening to this, knowing that that hopefully won't be you. But what they do see is a pretty strong connection to an allele, a genetic component known as your HLA-B27. So they see this allele particularly in 90 to 95% of patients who do form ankylosing spondylitis. However, the good thing that we want to point out here is that still 1.5 to 10% of patients that have this specific allele are completely asymptomatic.
Asymptomatic and are seeing a lot lower, you know, progression of that disease in the spine itself. So that's where I always start asking, okay, what are those people doing? What are those up to 10% of people doing differently? Because they also have the gene.
Yeah.
So there's got to be other contributing factors as to how fast this might progress. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some other things that we saw when we took a look in the research is up to 70% of people that were presenting with ankylosing spondylitis had inflammation in their gut, their mucosal lining of their gut.
Gut permeability.
Resulted in gut permeability, which is something we also see in a lot of people with autoimmune disease,
100%.
With other autoimmune diseases, and with just systemic inflammatory diseases. We saw that people who presented with this tended to have a high deficiency of vitamin D and also some dysregulation of hormonal things.
Yeah, whether it was like decreased testosterone, I think it was decreased estrogen, increased luteinizing hormone. So we're seeing all this dysregulation, again, not only happening at the spine, but kind of happening all throughout the body, and 70% having some gut issues. That's pretty high. So it becomes out of our scope of practice of what we're going to, you know, kind of advise, but that's where you want to say, okay, am I working with a registered dietitian, someone who I really trust in terms of how do I understand my gut microbiome and what am I doing? What am I putting in my body that really kind of can cause some effect and possibly make some changes there, right? And especially someone who's going to look at your hormones and do some testing and kind of figure out what supplements or food might be best for your individual body. Again, outside of our scope of practice, but I think that just shows so importantly, you know, what the whole picture starts to look like.
And it's always kind of a bummer to us when we see these things in the research, like, oh, a lot of people who have ankylosing spondylitis experience these things also, but we don't see any of those things talked about in the researched potential solutions.
Yeah.
You know, we don't see a lot of recommendations saying, oh, make sure you're seeing a dietitian, make sure you're having somebody check hormones and how you can start to maybe get some of those things in balance. Because again, then maybe that's the component that's going to help bring you from somebody who's has a more rapidly progressing ankylosing spondylitis to the 10% that has slow progressing and asymptomatic ankylosing spondylitis. So again, we know that genetic component's there, but there's also plenty of other things that we can start to address.
This kind of takes me back to that podcast we recently did with Dr. Keneally on cancer and everything that they check. I mean, go listen back to that podcast, because if we're talking root cause of autoimmune disease and what's really happening, you know, when we're talking about the gut and your endocrine system and all that kind of stuff, like let's go back to all of these things she kind of laid out in the beginning. It was insane, but also you talk about getting to the root cause of something.
And when we talk to Dr. Yael Jaffe on genetics itself and how she talks about all of the epigenetic and nutrigenomic factors, which essentially means all the behavioral things that we can do to influence how our genes present, which influence the inflammation in our body, which influence some of these physiologic things that might more rapidly progress diseases like this. So Again, those would be incredible podcasts to listen to. But now that, you know, we've gone over that, we know, okay, nutrition, seeing...
Getting to root cause of that.
Yeah, seeing a dietitian, somebody who can work on with hormones with you would be a great place to start.
Yes. And now we go into a little bit more of our realm of things, which is movement. And actually, you know, still talking about like kind of your gut inflammation, exercise was seen to lower what's called calprotectin, which is kind of like your protein blockers in that they find in feces that kind of causes that intestinal inflammation. And so this is associated with a reduction in the disease activity. So exercise alone can help your gut permeability.
Yeah. And there was a lot that talked about respiratory activities or making sure that we keep mobility from our pelvis to our rib cage, keep those ribs expanding. Because anytime we get degeneration of the spine, you know, all of our ribs attach back into our spine. So we want to make sure that those ribs are continuing to move really well so that we keep good breath support and keep that active core canister that's going to help support the back in general.
Yeah. And when we're looking at physical therapy, you know, of course, we're looking, we want to maintain as much spinal mobility as you have. So this is where it becomes a super personal plan. And this is where we're not going to talk about specific exercises that are needed for ankylosing spondylitis, because what the research continues to point out is that a supervised physical therapy individualized plan is way more beneficial than just having a generalized movement plan for yourself and trying to do it on your own, because everyone's disease progression is going to look a little different. Where you are within the disease is going to look a little bit different. So we want to know, you know, how much mobility do you have of your spine currently and what is safe for you to continue to move into. We want to know what your current function is within your body so that we can progress you accordingly, you know, and we're really trying to, along that journey, control your own pain and inflammation. So that's why just going to scroll Google or trying to listen to this podcast for a specific exercise, we're not going to give it, because the research is super clear that an individualized program is going to be best.
Yeah. And there was one research study that did just say the importance of physical activity in general cannot be understated.
And
and this is something that we see with a lot of back pain disorders, is that if you're trying to keep yourself physically active, there are so many positive benefits that come from physical activity. So between 2 and 4 hours of physical activity per week can really help mitigate levels of pain. But also, like we talked about earlier, that mental emotional battle that we tend to play when it comes to pains in our body and how they impact our ability to stay active and stay engaged in our environment.
Yeah. And then another study even went further in saying that back exercises, again, specific to what you need, 5 days a week plus recreational exercise, 200 minutes per week, was seen to really reduce pain and stiffness, increase function, and slow the progression of this disability over 5 years. So they're continuing to say a sedentary lifestyle is one of the worst things you can do for ankylosing spondylitis. And there was even studies that showed that 20 to 40% of patients didn't really respond too well to pharmacological, you know, treatments. They responded much better when it's in conjunction with either physical therapy and cognitive therapy, actually.
Yeah. And that's, again, where it's coming back around to this whole thing that we have to address when we talk back pain. It's not just a physical thing. You know, it's physical, emotional, mental, social. How do we feel we're connecting with the people around us, with our family? Do we feel like our back pain is starting to prevent us from being able to go to family activities? And that's when we really start to spiral down into this almost helplessness, like, oh, my back hurts, so therefore I can't move, so therefore I can't participate in the things that I love in life.
Right.
And what the research is showing is that, okay, even when we have a degree of pain, and again, we talk about this with all sorts of back pain, whether that's herniated discs, whether that's just regular arthritis, like osteoarthritis in the back, you need to be able to stay active. Because when we have pain, the first thing that we want to do is stop. I need to stop moving so I don't feel that pain. And that's kind of a negative feedback, where the less we move, the more pain we might feel. But then also the more it affects us emotionally, mentally, and socially to be able to meaningfully participate in life.
Yeah. So hopefully that helps to like really bring you around to this idea of like, okay, it is safe to move and that's okay, even though I might feel a little pain and
you're not going to do more damage.
Yeah. You're actually going to help more than you would, you know? So I think that's super empowering, and hopefully you can find, you know, a great therapist near you. Don't feel bad if you need to try out a few therapists, you know?
Yeah.
You don't always jive with everyone, and that's okay. And someone might be a little bit more personalized or hear your journey a little bit more than another, and that's totally fine. So finding a therapist that really feels like they're working with you and they're guiding you through a really solid plan so that you feel supported is so important.
That can be one of the toughest things. Like when you finally, all right, I'm going to go to somebody. I'm going to finally go to somebody, and it just isn't a good fit.
Yeah.
Or in those first few visits, you just don't feel like they're seeing you. They're actually hearing your story. The people that Jen and I work with, back when we worked with clients a little more intimately, one-on-one, they would just say like, oh my gosh, you're like the 20th person that I'm seeing, but it feels different. I finally feel like you're listening to me. And that's where Jen and I always understood that it's very important to be there for the person and hear their emotional story, hear how it's impacted their life socially, so we can start hitting on some of those cognitive bits, even though that's not directly what we're treating.
Yeah.
When you hear somebody, when you hear their story, and then you help explain to them and educate them that this is why movement's important, so we can get back to those things. It helps return people to their why and really start to address some of the root cause factors that might be causing their pain to progress. Thanks for listening into another PT Pearl on back pain. Like I said, we've done so many podcasts on back pain, so make sure you go back through the podcast archive a bit and find one that might be really pertinent to you. If you heard something in this podcast that you think might be beneficial to somebody else, please pass it along. Consider leaving us a rating and review on your favorite podcasting platform. And of course, we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.